This is Scott Becker, and I'm thrilled today with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast to visit with David Sylvan. David has got the best accent you might hear today. He's also the president, CEO of University Hospitals Ventures, and has got a fascinating background. David, can you take a moment to introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about what you do in UH Ventures and more.
Absolutely, Scott, and good morning, and flattery will get you everywhere, by the way, with regard to the accent, but very happy to be with you today.
Thank you. And David, can you tell us about University Hospitals Ventures? What exactly is that, and tell us about it a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I am, as you indicated, with University Hospitals Ventures. I've been with the platform, Scott, and its predecessor incarnations going into my, I think it's my sixth year now. And honestly, that was after joining what I thought at the time was a six-month consulting engagement. But as you well know, there is there's perpetual unfinished business in healthcare, and I got hooked by the mission of finding ways to serve patients, populations, and of course, that also includes our providers. UH Ventures is the, as the name denotes, it's the innovation and commercialization arm of the hospital system. We are tasked with the process of identifying, of nurturing, seeding, and hopefully giving some type of commercial grade life to either opportunities and inventions that are sourced within our system. So think about technology transfer, but excuse my dog in the background, Scott, a technology transfer, but on steroids, going instead of from bench to something like a license or royalty agreement as a terminal event, trying to get to a point of true venture creation, you know, stand-ups and spin-outs. We're equally tasked with the responsibility of looking for opportunities outside of the system and actually outside of healthcare. As you can well attest through your experience, many other industries have already perfected solutions for their own unmet needs. Healthcare lags in some of those regards. So to the extent that we can look to emulate, to plagiarize, if you will, solutions that have worked elsewhere, we're tasked with that responsibility as well. And then finally, we also have to influence the culture of intrapreneurship at the healthcare system. And you do this through a variety of mechanisms, programming, innovation days, grand rounds, et cetera. And overarching all of this, we have the capacity to then invest in the most promising of those opportunities.
Fantastic. So when you look at UH Ventures today and you think about, here's my big priorities in the next 6 to 12 months, how do you sort of categorize those big priorities? Like, what do you want to accomplish, UH Ventures to accomplish in the next 6 to 12 months?
Sure. And I'll take a high level for response to that, Scott. You know, as we, as an industry, barrel towards value from volume, we are tasked with ameliorating some of the inevitable margin pressures. And I don't think it's hyperbolic to consider the next few years through almost an existential lens for many systems. Those who won't or can't strongly pivot towards their risk capacity, whether that's bundles or capitation, whatever works for those systems, I think they're going to struggle. And on a more tactical level, systems better have started or considered to start an actionable digital strategy, perhaps informed by some of the current COVID response learnings. We've embarked as a hospital upon a journey to functional integration, really striving to create value for our patients across the care continuum. We call it systemness. It's not a novel term, certainly, and you know, perhaps a construct, as I mentioned earlier, that's already well defined and achieved in other industries. But aligning leadership, goals, actions across traditionally siloed domains, that will be imperative to our success. And the Ventures platform has, and not just my opinion, fortuitously found itself already manifesting the so-called systemness, because we've needed to breach the traditional boundaries in order to be viable. We are truly embedded within the system, and so in an ironic sense, we can now assist in giving this notion a broader life. And then I'd say to you, finally, Scott, as I mentioned earlier, we need to be seen as the sort of two-way conduit for opportunities, those from the outside and those that could be nurtured from the inside.
Tell us a little bit, David, about your career and how you evolved into this role. Just give us a little bit on your background and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly wasn't a straight line. And I currently teach as an adjunct faculty at Case Western Reserve University. And I say this to my students as well, Scott. Whatever you think you're going to be doing by virtue of your academic positioning or academic preparation, it's not what you're going to be doing in 5 years' time. And you have to be receptive to opportunity and to disappointments and to forks in the road. All knowledge is fungible, and I think this notion of having to steadfastly stick to an inaugural sort of career path is fool's gold anymore. I started in business law and accounting, and I ended up initially with at that time what was known as one of the Big Eight firms. It was the amalgamation of Tushross International and I've just forgotten the second firm's name, to be quite candid. And of course, I think it's now down to the Big Three. Learned very quickly that I candidly detested the accounting world and moved into professional sports. I began to work for the largest sports marketing company in the world. I'd moved to New York City from Johannesburg, South Africa at that point, and joined IMG, the International Management Group. Did a lot of their treasury work, their M&A work. Fascinating, learned many of the do's, probably was exposed to all of the don'ts from a corporate practice because it was an unregulated industry and a closely held entity. From there, pivoted hard again and joined an investment bank and ended up working in the capital markets sphere. I headed up a derivatives practice in both the rates, currencies, and commodities space. I also headed up an investment banking group looking to originate tax-exempt bond financing for those eligible borrowers. And so that took me on the road extensively for the better part of about 25 years and learned a fortune doing that, but always felt that I was missing something from the standpoint of true contribution, if you will. And fortuitously lucked into, as I mentioned, a very short-term engagement with a hospital system to aid them in the formalization of their innovation platform. And literally within months, it became clear to me that there was this perpetual unfinished business. It's an industry well in need of continued and continual improvement and optimization. And for me, I think the ultimate hook was the acknowledgement that there is a person, a patient, a family, a population at the end of the proverbial production line, and for me that's really given me finally that satisfaction that I am actually doing something to impact lives, and it keeps me very motivated.
It's magnificent. Take one moment. There's a whole community that moved from Johannesburg to the United States. Talk just one bit about Johannesburg. And not about any particular community, but just about Johannesburg and what that was like. And then talk about IMG for a moment, because IMG is, famously famous from the Jerry Maguire series, from the, relationships to the Emanuel family and so forth, the famous agency. Talk about, just for a moment, about Johannesburg and IMG, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. There's a lot of misconception and misnomer when it comes to Africa. Johannesburg is a very, very large, very sophisticated city. But you can literally drive 20 minutes, half an hour, and be in true Africa from two facets, the romantic, the bush, the wildlife, the game, but also the reality of Africa from the standpoint of a big city like Johannesburg being adjacent to abject poverty and the misery that some people have associated with the African reality. So it's this melding of first and third worlds. It's a very rich culture and rich community from that perspective. We obviously are well past the awful history that pervaded all of our lives from the nationalist and apartheid period of time. And the best parts of that richness still pervade society in South Africa. definitely still fractured, definitely still very, very complex issues to be solved for. Some of those economics, some of those leadership, and some of those, you know, people preference in terms of activities and actions. But certainly a rich milieu that has flavored the manner in which I think about my life and I think about relationships and I think about things that are important and the context around that. And not ironically, the lead into IMG was actually through a series of South African connections. I was living in New York City, but through connections in the Gary Player organization, I was introduced to IMG, which is headquartered in Cleveland, Ohio. And that commenced a fascinating journey. When you look at the, and you mentioned the Jerry Maguires, and you consider the extreme nature of that movie, it's sadly all true, Scott. I mean, there is an element of the Wild West that still pervades that industry in the manner in which relationships are forged, business is done. It's very, very sophisticated. It's not simply a function of glad handing and hanging out with athletes. There's a sophisticated business engine and machine that underpins all of that. And it also forged for me the acknowledgement that relationship building, identification, and the sustaining of the power of true relationships is really how business gets done.
Magnificent. David, can you tell us about one other thing? You had mentioned Gary Player, and Gary Player is almost more famous today in his own way as a senior person than he was as a great, great golfer. He was magnificent as a golfer because of his commitment to physical and mental wellness. Can you take 2 seconds on Gary Player? Because he's a fascinating character, too, that you mentioned.
Yeah, you've absolutely identified his the secret sauce to Gary Player. And for him, wellness is holistic. It's not merely eating appropriately. It's not merely the exercise. It's also focusing on what he needs to do from a mental resilience perspective. And so he takes this truly holistic approach to the manner in which, you know, he reveres his vessel, so to speak, from including body and mind. A very humble gentleman, someone that has that paved the way, if you will, to refer back to the South African story with regard to crossing boundaries and forging alliances and bridges. So he was ahead of his time from that standpoint and showed many people the viability of a new way of thinking about how to, you know, cross lines from a relationship standpoint. So a fascinating individual. He is probably the most traveled individual you've ever met. He's literally racked up millions and millions of miles traveling. By every estimation, he works as hard now as he did when he was young. And you know, he's famously quoted as saying once that the more you practice, the luckier you get. And he never fails to remind people that you need a healthy dose of luck, self-induced luck, in order to be successful in life.
Fantastic. David, what a pleasure to visit with you. At some point, we'll get you on our non-healthcare podcast to talk about these issues, IMG, Gary Player, Johannesburg, and a lot more. What a great pleasure to visit with you, and continued good luck at University Health Ventures, University Hospital Ventures, UH Ventures. Just magnificent work. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Scott, a pleasure to be with you, and I always enjoy our conversations, and I look forward to more. Thank you.